Hello and welcome to episode 26 of the Game Train podcast. I am Callan Davison and joining me is Carl Smith.
Hello, here I am.
This week on the show we have the review of EA's Battlefront 2. Plus we're going to talk a bit about the Xbox One X, which Carl picked up the other day.
Yes, finally.
Plus all of our normal segments like our Hype and Lame Train, your questions. But first, the news. Hours before launch, following a massive backlash from its fanbase, EA released this statement regarding Battlefront 2. As we approach the worldwide launch, it's clear that many of you feel there are still challenges in the design. We've heard the concerns about potentially giving players unfair advantages, and we've heard that this is overshadowing an otherwise great game. This was never our intention. Sorry we didn't get this right. We hear you loud and clear, so we're turning off all in-game purchases. We will now spend more time listening, adjusting, balancing, and tuning. This means the option to purchase crystals in the game is now offline and all progression will be earned through gameplay. The ability to purchase crystals in-game will become available at a later date, only after we've made changes to the game. We'll share more details as we work through this. This was from a quote from Oscar Gabrielson, the general manager at DICE, who are the developers of Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Ooh, wow, that's interesting. Gamers actually making them make such a big move as to take out actual money from the game. In relation to that, CD Projekt Red have, you know, in all this sort of EA news going around, have released a tweet recently, and these guys are always kind of playing the good guy in gaming, and it hasn't stopped yet, and they've written, because people were worried, you know, and saying, is this the death of big open world single player experiences? And they said, worry not, when thinking of CP2077, which is Cyberpunk, I assume, think nothing less than The Witcher 3, huge single player open world story driven RPG, no hidden catch, you get what you paid for. No BS, just honest gaming, like with Wild Hunt. We leave greed to the others. So that's interesting.
Sony have announced that they've passed a milestone of 1 billion hours of entertainment consumed in Australia over the last 12 months on the PlayStation. That's a lot of entertainment.
1 billion hours.
1 billion hours. Also, following on from that, with more PlayStation news, a update is coming to Gran Turismo Sport. A bunch of new cars are being added, and they're adding a new single-player mode called GT League. So pretty much it's like the GT mode of previous titles, where players can now look forward to racing through a series of cup competitions from beginner to pro levels, and even partake in endurance races.
Ooh, I kind of really, really wanted that at launch.
Yep.
But, you know, I hope it's enough. Like, yep. I hope it's soon enough. I hope everyone hasn't forgotten about it and moved on like myself. Speaking of moving on, moving right along, still, because there's so much news with this loot box stuff, I've still got like a bit more news, which is kind of a big thing that happened this week. And this is coming straight off the PC Authority website, pcauthority.com.au, Hyper's website also. And it's about the gambling views of the governments in both Victoria and Queensland. So it's coming over here now. People in Belgium have been starting to talk about it, and Hawaii. And now, like, so on the website, they've wrote, while we all watch Electronic Arts' slow motion loot box catastrophe threaten its entire relationship with Star Wars and Disney, governments the world over are starting to weigh in on whether or not loot boxes equate to gambling. Now, yesterday, Belgium stated that it was calling for a Europe-wide ban on the practice, and now both the Victorian and Queensland gambling bodies are having their say. And they don't completely agree. So they've quoted us saying that, now the Victoria said, your research and suppositions on the matter are correct. What occurs with loot boxes does constitute gambling by the definition of the Victorian legislation. And that was from Jared Wolfe of the VCGLR. And that seems pretty cut and dried, but Queensland came and said, I can confirm that video gaming, which provides for loot boxes, would not fall within the meaning of a gaming machine as defined under the Gaming Machine Act, which came from Robert Grimmond of the OLGR in Queensland. So yes, some opposing views there. So it looks like it's going to have to move up to a higher court to organize and see what happens with that in the future. But yeah, it looks like things are bubbling up, and whoever's releasing loot boxes in their next game must be terrified.
Valkyria Chronicles 4 has been announced, and it is coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch in 2018.
Nice. Splatoon 2 have some big updates coming. So let me just smash through, because I was quite surprised. 24th of November, they have their first bunch of updates, and that is 4 new battle stages, a new Salmon Run stage, new gear, approximately 140 pieces of gear, which includes shoes, headgear, clothes, motocross mask, yeah, winter clothing, all that kind of stuff. And also some returning items from the original Splatoon game. There's also new battle music, a new hairstyle. So now there's 4 new hairstyles that'll be available when you create your Inkling, two each for female and male characters. There's now a higher level cap. It used to max out at 50, and now it's raised to 99. And if players talk to Judd when they reach level 99, they'll have the option to reset their level display to level star 1, and they can continue raising their level, so like prestiging in COD or something. There's also new amiibo functionality. Tapping capable amiibo figure after the update will let players take and share photos in preset locations and battle stages, in addition to being able to take photos in Inkopolis Square. And they can also add fun filters to their images. There's also now going to be convenient gear swapping. So players who want to change gear between battles in regular battle, rank battle, and Splatfest solo won't have to exit the lobby anymore, which is awesome. That was one of my main sort of, you know, grievances with the game. So after downloading the update, gear can be swapped out without leaving the match room, making it quicker to get back to splatting for regular battle. This also means players can play the next battle with the same players. So that seems so obvious, but it's really something that was lacking at the vanilla launch. And also there's Clan Blitz being added. I told you there was a lot here. So in Clan Blitz, competing Inklings are tasked with collecting clams scattered around the stage. After one is picked up, the clam follows the player. The objective is to throw the clam into the basket near the opponent's base, and the first team to score 100 points wins. But, of course, this being the fiercely competitive world of Splatoon 2, things are not as easy as they seem. The baskets are protected by a barrier, which must be destroyed first. After collecting 10 clams, the player will earn a power clam. These super-powered clams are the key to breaking the barrier, so strategic Inklings need to decide which clams are used to destroy the barrier and which are used to earn points, not to mention the extra satisfying opportunity to steal opponents' clams by splatting them. So that's a whole lot of fun. And sorry, the Clam Blitz will be a mid-December update after the 24th of November. So yeah, that's Splatoon 2 updates.
There are a heap of Black Friday deals going on at the moment, so go check out your local retailer or digital online downloads. Like, everyone is just having huge sales. You can get 50% off a lot of games. So go check it out, because there's some massive titles with big deals.
Yeah, and that's really exciting for our Australian listeners, because we don't normally get so involved in the Black Friday sales. So I'm really stoked that we are finally, because I mean, this digital, you know, entertainment form is so connected worldwide that it seems weird that we wouldn't. And lastly from me, the second trial of the gods is now live in Assassin's Creed Origins, with Sobek as the next Egyptian god target. So you can battle in that right now for the next 5 days for your chance to get another piece of the Anubis gear set.
Have they said how many are coming?
You know what? I feel like I read 6 somewhere, but I don't have an official source in front of me to verify that memory. But yeah, I feel like I read 6 somewhere, so I'm not quite sure. And I wonder if they cycle right after that, or if something new's coming. I hope they cycle, because I missed the first one, and I'm hoping I can get a chance to do this one. I'm at level 30 now, so I gotta smash it out, because you gotta be at least level 40 to do this.
Yep. Alright, and that's the news.
So games I've been playing. Yeah, I got me the Xbox One X, finally, which I wasn't really ready for, but I just traded in my Xbox and 8,000 billion games, so it wasn't really that expensive, which has been the best upgrade ever, because I've been sitting on this 4K TV, 55-inch, for months with, you know, no way to
that
like...
That must be uncomfortable.
Wow. Wow. Get out. Get out. You don't know. Maybe it is. It's good for the back. Once you're done, Callan, can I please?
Yeah.
So Xbox One X. Now, a few things. I got to smash through this stuff because I got a lot to say about it, but I'll just cut it right down. Firstly, I was terrified. Absolutely terrified because, like a lot of you out there, I felt there was no real point in keeping my Xbox One because it's not like getting a new console. This plays all the same games, so I thought, well, I'll trade it in. But that means that you have to give away all your save files and everything, all your downloaded, everything that you have on your Xbox One and bring home an empty one and just hope that whatever you're doing to backup works, like saving onto the cloud or putting stuff onto a hard drive using their backup system, which just seemed way too easy. I just pressed backup and in about 3 seconds, it was like, cool, you're done. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't believe you. So I went to like all these different retailers and said like, hey, what's the deal? How do I trade this in? And, you know, like, is it safe? And every single one of them said, not sure, man. Haven't actually spoken to anyone that's done it firsthand. I haven't done it. And even some of the staff were saying like, I'm too scared. So anyway, I finally did it. I put all my games onto a hard drive. I backed up my saves, so I think, onto a hard drive. And then I came back home with my Xbox One. Plugged it into my hard drive before turning it on, switched it on, and without even asking me, it's like, oh, hey, Carl, yep, notice you put everything onto a hard drive. Good call. Let us just back up this whole console for you. Oh, also, we've seen that there's a few updates that need to be made to a bunch of games here via your wireless internet. I'm like, wait, I didn't even connect to the internet. It didn't even ask me. It just connected everything automatically, so it's obviously even backed up my passwords. I had to do nothing. I just sat there and waited. Everything was updated. I jumped in all my games. I tested like my oldest games in case maybe I didn't save them back in the day on the cloud, like Sunset Overdrive, but everything was there. All my saves, everything was perfect. All my games were just ready to play straight away. Having said that, I then had to download 4K textures for Assassin's Creed Origins, which didn't take as long as I thought, considering I don't have NBN yet. And wow. Wow, that looks just like amazing, like something else. I didn't even think I'd notice it that much, but because I've been playing so much Assassin's Creed, I could even go back. The cool thing is all my screenshots are still saved in-game, so I can open the map and see all my screenshots that I'd already taken in the photo mode, and they just look awful. It's almost like they downscaled it just to show off a bit more. I don't know, but looking at my screenshots, I'm like, it didn't look this bad, did it? It couldn't have. And then I look at my screenshots that I take now, and it's just like pixel perfect. Like materials are just like, you can see all the stitching in the canvas, and like the leather is faded in this way that just looks like real leather. Like the sky, the sand is like all the grains are there. It's hard to explain, and especially because I'm sitting about a meter away from a 55-inch 4K screen. It's just a whole other experience that I'm very excited to get more into. I haven't checked out other games, but I did play some Star Wars in that, which I'll talk about later, which also looked awesome. But yeah, so that's my initial reaction to the Xbox One X.
Wow, it's really, definitely really well cool. Worth it. Yeah. What I'm happy to hear there is that they've made it so easy for you to switch across.
Yeah. Oh, that was the best news because... if that was going to be hard, that would have been like, just rule it out. Cause it's like, well, is it worth it to lose all these hours?
No, it's really good to know for anyone that's listening, that's considering it. Just, yeah, I guess go do it because, it's simpler to do. It sounds.
Yeah. Back it up onto a hard drive. Now the other option is to have both consoles in the house and you can do a complete backup via wireless networking. But of course you need two TVs and you need both the machines there. So if you're lucky enough to be able to afford another Xbox in the house, then do it that way. you know, so if anything goes wrong, you've got your other Xbox. But yeah, it is very easy, so yep. Don't be worried about that.
All right, so on to the SNES minigames still that we're slowly getting through. We've got Mega Man X on the agenda this week.
Yes, Mega Man X. Oh man, I love it. So Mega Man X, which is confusing. It does have an X on it, sounds like 10, but Mega Man 7 came out after Mega Man X, and then 8 and 9. But Mega Man X is a different character. It's kind of when, to a lot of fans of Mega Man, when the series got cool. Like, Mega Man was really fun, and then Mega Man X was, like, the cool one. He's taller, and he does cooler stuff. He still can't crouch, though, which is interesting.
Can he still slide? But, yeah, he can still slide, can't he?
Yeah, well, that's an upgrade. So everything he does is kind of an upgrade, which is just... it's awesome.
Because, sorry to sidetrack slightly, but I've watched speedruns of some of the earlier Mega Man games, and they just slide everywhere because it's quicker.
Yeah, the dash is what they officially call it. And it's so cool. Like, I forgot how cool this game was. How did you enjoy yourself jumping back in?
Yeah, like, the game's hard. It's a hard game. It's not easy.
No, I mean...
first level, I died a bunch of times.
I've got it ingrained into my brain because of hours of playing.
I guess I just wasn't expecting it to be that difficult straight off the bat. So I was like, oh yeah, let's go in the first... oh, okay then. I actually got to be careful in what I'm doing here.
Yeah, and it's not even a level. It's like just the intro.
Yeah, and then you come to the traditional screen of choosing all of your... which guy you want to go fight. So there's like 8 to choose from.
Yeah.
Like it's been a staple through the Mega Man series since 1.
Which is always just such a cool way to play it. You know, like the level choices, such a fun way to experience it. It's not just like level 1 to 8 and you just go in a straight line.
Yep.
I've loved that for, you know, all the Mega Man games. This is my first real experience with a Mega Man game, even in the whole series. So I skipped a lot of the Mega Man stuff. I jumped straight into Mega Man X.
I played 2 a lot back in the day. I got right near the end on that.
Wow, and you think Mega Man X is hard.
Yeah, I know. And this is when I was like, you know, like a 10-year-old kid or whatever.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I got into this because of Degs, like our good friend David Fisher. And I mean, growing up playing games with him is kind of what made me fall in love with gaming. A lot of my gaming experiences with my friend Degs, and Mega Man X was just one of his like all-time favorite games, and he knew this game like back to front. Even, you know, like you were saying, as young, you know, 10-year-olds, we'd be sitting in there, and he knew like every secret, everywhere to jump, how to kill each boss, who was better against what. And I used to watch him just play it and was, you know, just blown away by it. Never had my own version until I was a bit older. And now I love it so much that Mega Man X and Zero are the, you know, I've talked about my gaming tattoo sleeve, but this takes up the biggest part of my arm.
I thought that was Astro Boy.
Yeah, Kellen.
Every time.
Kellen.
Every time.
Every time. Every time.
Yeah.
You're one of those guys. Yeah. But anyway, so, you know, after watching him play, as soon as I started playing, and then I got on and started playing this week, you know, for the review, and it all just came back to me, so much of it. And the game is just, it is hard, but God, when you know the pattern, there's like this real strategy to play it. So like the level choices, all, you know, obviously a really fun way, but there's such a like strategy to them. And obviously there's a real correct way to play, because the next boss, when you kill a boss in Mega Man or Mega Man X games, you get their power, which is, you know, a big part of the game. And then you use that power against the next boss and so on and so forth. But Mega Man X, it introduced other elements. So that was the big Mega Man pull, but X kind of turned it into almost more Metroidvania. Because now if you go in certain stages, you unlock things you can add to your armor. So the first stage that you should normally play, and I just ran through it, and I couldn't believe how much of an effect this has on the game. So you play through the ice stage, and you unlock, you know, your boots, which let you dash. And then you find, like, your first sub-tank, which means when your health is full, you can continue collecting health, and you fill up your other tank that's in your pause menu. And when you're nearly dead, you can pause the game and use up all the health in that sub-tank to fill your health back up. There's a heart to collect, which grows your health so that you have a little bit more. And all that's in the first level. And then you kill the chill penguin, you win his ice power. And then you move on to the flame mammoth stage, you know, obviously to kill the fire guy with ice. But Other than that, if you went straight to the fire level, there's lava everywhere. So the level's very hard. But if you kill the penguin first and then you go into this level, all the lava's frozen.
What?
Yeah, the whole level's frozen. So the entire level becomes fundamentally easier. You can go and then because of that, you can go underneath platforms and collect like hidden items. Like one of the hearts to fill up your health meter is like impossible. You can't get it because it's under this huge platform in like on top of lava. But you kill the ice person and then it freezes the, the flame level over and you can just fall off platforms and just land on the ice.
Wow.
It gives you this real feeling of power and, you know, like strategy and like, yeah, I nailed this because I did it this way. And then so on and so forth. If you kill the fire guy and you go onto a specific level that, you know, helps and changes. So the whole game is dynamic. And like, if you do kill the ice person, you go into the fire level, it could confuse the hell out of you because you're like, you never know. Like you would have never, ever seen that level with lava if you happened to just do the ice one first. So,
Well, I'm going to have to jump back in and do it properly because I just went to the forest level and got my butt handed to me by the boss. So I think I might have to go and do it in the proper order.
Yeah, even look up a guide and just blaze through it because just to see how it's, you know, if you want to just experience how it was, like, I reckon this, it just turned it into like this Metroidvania awesome. And, you know, you upgrade your helmet and you upgrade your, chest and arms. Like the cool thing is you didn't kill a boss, but when you kill a boss, you get his gun power and you can just shoot it. And it does different things, like you get a boomerang, you get ice, you get flamethrower, whatever. But then, spoilers, but, you know, the game's old enough. When you reach the end, before you fight the big, big boss, you meet your friend Zero again, who dies.
I don't want spoilers.
And gives you his gun. And then, you can now recharge. You know how you can recharge your normal gun? Mm-hmm. Well, the whole game changes because now you can recharge all the guns that you got from the enemies, which normally you can't. You just shoot a different kind of projectile. And they all do different things. Like with the ice one, instead of just shooting ice, if you recharge it to its full power, it shoots out an ice skateboard and you jump on it and can slide for as long as the level will let you. And the game has aged beautifully. It looks as awesome as ever. The music is unreal. Still super playable, super tight. But yeah, that's Mega Man X.
All right, well, something else I jumped into in the last week, which I'd been anticipating for quite a while, was Ashes 2017 from developer Bigant. So, yes, that's right, the new cricket game. I'm back in the cricket again. Yes.
Yes, you are.
Yep. So, straight away, I noticed the differences between this and Don Bradman. So, I guess the animations are better. They've done some more motion capture. They've taken all the likenesses and for the Australian and English team because they're all licensed now and, you know, made all the proper likenesses, etc. Also, I went and started a new career mode as myself. So last time I was a bowler batsman. This time I'm just a batsman.
Can you make yourself in this?
Yes.
Oh, you have to send a photo for us to see of what you look like.
No, it's not very good.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's just a guy with a beard and brown hair, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. I was excited to see Game Train Callan.
Yeah. I've been playing on a harder difficulty this time. So I've had to almost relearn batting again. I'm going all right now.
Nice.
Still in club cricket, so I haven't moved out of like the local cricket scene. So I haven't made it to the Victoria team yet. Some other things I've noticed, though, which was a bit disappointing, there's some really bad textures in the background. Like, some of the hills look like they're straight out of Minecraft.
Oh, no, that bad?
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but, like, they're pretty bad. And they've changed the commentary.
Okay.
As well, which I didn't think they needed to change from the last one. The last one was not too bad. Like, this time, now they've got Michael Slater doing it, who's one of Channel 9's commentators. It just sounds a bit forced at times. They've also got Mel Jones to do some of the commentary. Hers is sounds a bit more natural, but Slater's just sounds off a lot of the time. A problem I had with the AFL game, which came out earlier this year, and they've done it in this one too, for some bizarre reason, some of the commentary doesn't match up to what's happening. So you'll do a great shot, and they'll be like, oh, we missed that one there. It's like, what?
Oh, that wrong.
So I'm playing for Frankston in this at the moment, right?
Okay.
And they keep calling my team Adelaide.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just things like this. And it's like, man, just get these things right. Please get these things right. It's just little things like that turns it from, you know, being, you know, the only cricket game we've got to being not a great cricket game that we've got. It just hurts.
Damn.
When it's just simple little things that could just be tightened up. And I guess things like that's going to be fixing patches, like the odd commentary matching up.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, that shouldn't be too hard, you'd think.
Yeah, like this is the third cricket game in the last, I think, 4 years from Big Ant now. Like, they're starting to get a nice platform going for it, but they've still got a ways to go, I feel.
Yeah.
But it's just annoying when they go and change all the commentary. Like, they've got one of the guys from the old game in there still, and some of the lines are the same, but I feel they should have just kept building on that and just expanded on that more. Just tidied up the backgrounds a bit more. Like, it's odd playing in Frankston and there's, like, Mount Everest behind you. Like, why is there a giant mountain there? You know, just make it look like a normal suburban ground with a couple of houses, etc. We don't need, like, Mount Everest in the background. We're not playing, you know, you can play in South Africa and the mountains would make sense down there because there's mountains behind some of their stadiums in South Africa, right? But this is like suburban Victoria. Like, there is no gigantic mountains there. Anyway, that's enough on Ashes 2017. I really do enjoy it, and I'll keep continuing. I've played, I think, over 70 matches now in a week.
Wow, and yeah, I was with you when you got your first
century. Oh, that's the other thing that really annoyed me, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I scored 100 runs, which is always the big milestone in cricket. And as I was getting there, I'm like, Carl, I'm going to get this 100. I'm like, I can't wait for this trophy, man. Like, you just feel like it's a guaranteed trophy. Anyway, get to the 98 or whatever, and I hit the ball, and I score my 100. I'm like, yeah, come on. I waited, and there was no trophy. There was no achievement. It was just on to the next ball. And I'm like, that's...
Do you reckon if you scored a century on top of the tallest pyramid in Egypt, that we would finally get an achievement?
It's odd because I then had a look through the achievement list because this perplexed me why this wasn't in there. Most of the achievements are around the Ashes mode. So there is an Ashes mode in the game where you choose either England or Australia and you play through an Ashes series. A lot of the achievements are tied around that you score 100 in an Ashes test and all that.
Okay.
But
okay.
It's just disappointing that it wasn't for my creator guy mode that he's worked up and gotten his 100 runs. But anyway, let's move on. All right, so...
Yes, we also
checked out Rocket League on the Switch that released. So I've played a lot of Rocket League. Like, I'm saying a lot. Like, I own it on the PC, I own it on the PlayStation 4, I now own it on the Switch.
You have bought it 3 times.
I bought the same game 3 times. And I bought the game
Did you do the free one for PlayStation 2?
No.
Oh, because it was free when it came out.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a PlayStation yet.
No, neither did I.
Oh, yeah, of course. Dang. Well, yeah, I've never played it. Ever, ever, ever. Until the Switch version came out. And I've been hearing all about it and people saying how awesome it is and how fun it is. And you know, I could see it and it looks totally fun and something I'd love to do. It was just one of those things I just never got onto. And then, I don't know, the idea of having it on the go on the Switch just seemed too good to resist, so I had to jump on it. And we haven't had a chance to play against each other, which I want to see how much you just smash me with your
I want to play on the same team as you.
And play the same team as me?
Yeah.
Okay, and just go, like, own the world. I've done 2 online matches, and won just, and then got obliterated in another one.
Wow.
So, but I did one season, which took longer than I expected, but man, it was fun. Like, so much fun. I think it's the perfect game for a Switch. It's such a, like, pick up and play for a fun session. And I don't know, I could never see myself sitting at a PC and giving it much time before.
See, that's where I've put most of my time in. So I put probably about 200 hours in on PC on it.
Wow.
But that was all playing on a keyboard. So then I had to relearn the game using joypad controls, and I'm still nowhere near as good as I was on the PC.
Maybe I can beat you right now before you learn.
Maybe. That's the other way you'll beat me, because if we played on the PC, I'd give you zero chance. I'm not even joking on that.
That's true. I don't even know how I just don't know how, like, to sit on a PC and play a game, it has to be really, like, an enthralling adventure to have me sit here and look at my computer.
This was an enthralling adventure. We had a team of three that we'd jump on with every night. We had team names. We called ourselves after Pokemon. You could talk to the opposition through your microphone. That was probably the funnest part. So there was a lot of sledging against the other team.
Taunting and
stuff. And we would have a bit of fun that every time we scored a goal, we would play Hansen's Oombop through the microphone to the opposition every time. Every time. And then if it went into overtime, we'd play the Pokemon theme through the microphone.
Wow, that does sound like fun. I wish I had.
And then
that
we
kind
came
of
up against rivals, like other teams, several times. And then one night they came in with these other Pokemon names, and it was like this massive Pokemon battle in Rocket League. It was just insane.
Oh man, that sounds like fun. Well, hopefully we can jump on. I'll jump on your team. Hopefully I don't bring you down too much, and we can go and try and take on some.
Yeah, if you don't
Rocket
score
League
some
noobs.
Goals and fly through the air, I'm just going to be disappointed.
Oh no. Okay.
Yep.
I've heard we have to switch off the cross-play thing just for people like me to have a chance.
Really? I smash PlayStations.
Yeah, but those people have been playing for
ages. Oh,
that's
ages, what I should do, because then I can just dominate the Switchies. Thanks, Carl.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm just...
Thank you for
that.
I'm
here to help, man.
And that's the games we've been playing this week. All right, so our review game this week is Star Wars Battlefront 2.
The Emperor is dead.
So what happens now?
We retaliate, Commander.
We've been fighting our whole lives.
Developed by DICE and published by EA comes Star Wars Battlefront 2, which is the follow-up to 2015's Battlefront. Now, back in 2015, this game released the original Battlefront, and straight away, everyone was like, whoa, that looks incredible, and it did. It was Star Wars. The sound, the graphics, everything looked fantastic, but it was multiplayer only, and people had a lot of complaints about that, that it was only multiplayer. Yep. So, this time, DICE went, all right, we're going to give you guys a single-player campaign. So, everyone was like, yes, single-player campaign, awesome, this will be even better. Which it was. It was cool to have a single player campaign where you play the role of Iden, who is part of an elite squad for the Empire.
Yeah, which was such an interesting angle.
Yes. So
and it had me very excited.
Yeah, it did. It was really cool. Like some of the scenes were awesome, and you know, they sort of brought up the story. The story is set around the end of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, which it was so cool to play a fresh story in there, kind of like Rogue One, you know, like within that time frame that you're all sort of familiar with and excited about, but a different chapter.
And it was interesting to see this story you almost felt sympathy for the Empire at times.
Yes, yep.
Like when the Death Star gets blown up and she's like, oh, some of my friends and stuff are on there. You're like, oh, no. No.
Yeah, she's like, that's impossible. And seeing her anger against the rebellion was really like, I don't know, it felt really legit. Like you're like, oh, she's really angry at them for some reason. Like she's been taught that way, and you're like, she's not a bad person.
Yeah,
she just has a different point of view, and that was really cool to see.
Yeah, it was a good dynamic to go with.
Yeah, and how weird was shooting the Alliance people and avoiding all the stormtroopers. I find that so strange at the start.
Yeah, it was quite bizarre. You know, you're running around and there's stormtroopers all around you. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not surrounded. They're all my friends. Let's go, guys.
Yeah, they're helping. And you see this innocent dude run around with a jacket. You're like, kill that person.
Yeah.
It felt so weird.
But, like, the story mode was all right. It was just a bit too short, and it was quite disjointed at times.
I felt it was strangely clunky. Like, after playing something like Destiny 2, where the jumps were just so on point, and, you know, one big thing was you can't grab onto ledges, which just spun me out, because there's, like, these tiny little boxes or, like, ledges you try and get over, and you're like, oh, I got to walk around it like this is GoldenEye or something. It just felt weird for something like that looked so good and was so modern and beautiful, and you could only jump like this tiny little height, and I don't know, and ducking was really weird. And I don't know about you, but I was excited about this because I wanted to get in and play, like a damn good Star Wars shooter with awesome graphics and just jump in there and, you know, like flying segments, which were amazing. But then most of the game, I was forced to play in third-person view.
Yep.
And I don't like the third-person view. It's weird and clunky. It reminds me of Skyrim's third-person, where it's like, well, it's there, but it doesn't look very cool. The animations aren't really good. And the character's kind of in the way in a weird... And then when you switch to, like, first-person, you're like, ah, this is awesome. This looks great. The guns look cool. They feel good and everything. But, yeah, for more times than not, I was forced to play third person. When it was like once or twice, I'm like, okay, but it kept happening, and I'm like, man, I thought this was a shooter. I came in expecting to play a shooter.
Well, another thing that disappointed me with the story was that, as I said before, it's a bit disjointed because there is a bunch of time jumps through it, and also you don't play as Iden as the whole time. I'm not going to go into who you play as, but there's a heap of levels when you're playing as other characters, and with a campaign as short as this, I felt they could have just focused on the one person.
Yeah, I really wanted to fall in love with Iden more. That's so true. And, like, get to know her.
Yeah.
And make her, like, a solid part of the whole Star Wars mythos and someone that fans could grab hold of and, you know, and love.
They could have just saved the other stuff for, like, maybe DLC or bonus missions or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even just another menu. Like, here's the other chapters that were happening meanwhile.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, once you finish the game as Iden, you go back and you do these other...
kind of like a Nier Automata type thing. Like,
This
is the game again, but here's what was happening behind the scenes. And that would have been cool. Yeah.
That would have been probably a better way of doing it and just extend her campaign a bit more. But, that's probably enough on the story and campaign itself. Let's talk about the other side of the game, which is the multiplayer.
Yes.
So
the multiplayer.
One of the other modes I jumped into was arcade mode. Now, I went to do... It's a single player or co-op mode. And I'm like, oh, sweet. So I tried to play it with a friend online. But no, you got to be on the same couch to play it.
Oh, you have to be split screen.
Yes, you have to be split screen. But turned out I had an Airbnb here at the same time. And they were watching me play. And they're like, can I play? I'm like, yes. So I handed them a control. And I played through the arcade mode.
Wow.
Yeah. So I sat down and did that, and they'd just like kill a bunch of bad guys in a time limit and things like that, and you earn credits, which then you can use to buy gear, etc. But something that really annoyed me so we played through, I think, 8 missions. By mission 6, I wasn't allowed to earn any more credits for that day.
Yeah, I hated the cap.
And I'm like, why cap me? Like, if I want to play through all 8, give me credits for all 8.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, it's coming up, and we all know from our news earlier that there's this huge controversy with all kinds of stuff to do with this, but this is even besides that fact.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and I'm glad we can talk about this game as a game first before we even get into that.
Well, we're going to save that for the end, because we've still got the multiplayer to talk about itself.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, what I mean is, like, they kept making out like, oh, aside from all this controversy, the game is just awesome or perfect underneath it. It's just that everyone's complaining about that. And I was like, no, well, the game's not perfect in itself. Like, people keep saying, like, well, if you get over all that news, there's a brilliant game under it. And it's like, I don't know.
There's a brilliant looking and sounding game under it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a brilliant game to watch.
But the longevity of this game, I can't see it lasting very long. Like, the multiplayer is fun, but... Like, it's your multiplayer shooter. So there is Galactic Assault mode, which is a 20-on-20 mode where you have to complete an objective as a team. And then there is...
There's the Heroes mode.
Heroes versus Villains mode, where it's 4v4, and you take on a role of heroes and villains, so your Darth Vaders and Luke Skywalkers, well, they're locked at the start, but like Yoda and Rey, etc., and you all fight.
From all different times of Star Wars.
There's the space battles, which is probably one of my favorite things from this, when you're in like TIE Fighters or X-Wings, and you're fighting in space, and it's all dogfights and everything like that. That is a heap of fun. There is Blast, which is a smaller team deathmatch style mode, which I quite enjoyed too. And there are also Strikes, which is a smaller based objective mode, which are rather than the 20-on-20, it's quite a smaller squad number.
Yeah, which was pretty refreshing, because I mean, last time most of it was like these ginormous epic wars, which you didn't feel like you had much of an impact on. So it was nice to play it with a, you know, more of that Halo-y Destiny COD feel, where like every person kind of matters just a little bit more.
And even just the team deathmatch is fun, where it's just, you just got to take out the opposition. And that's all you got to do. You don't have to worry about defending or get into an objective and all this. Is just take out the opposition, and that's all you do. And it's, yeah, it's quite refreshing. But I just feel like playing the multiplayer, I was like, okay, you know, this is all right. And then there's the progression system with it. Now, it takes quite a while to level up, I felt. And then you level up and you get credits, and then you use those credits to buy loot crates or cards, but then you need parts for the cards as well, and you don't always get parts. You can get them from boxes.
So you get a crate every day for a daily signing on as well, but in it you get like 5 parts and 10 credits or something, and like to upgrade just the smallest of cards, and cards are like things you add onto yourself, like faster reloading or, you know, better shields or stuff like that, or a new grenade. You can pick which card you want and slowly level it up. So to get it to like the first stage is like 40 credits, and you only get 5 every day unless you're playing a whole heap. But then to go, it's like 40. And then to level up from there again, it's like 60 or 80, and then another 120. And then like it takes a lot of credits.
Well, those aren't exact numbers you're throwing out, but yeah, you're giving a good example of how it sort of is all relative to each other.
Yeah, like it builds. It's.
Well, I got annoyed because I'm like, all right, I enjoy the Starfighter mode the most, right? So there is a crate that you can purchase with credits for a couple of thousand credits, and it's and it said, like, you know, the Starfighter box. I'm like, sweet, I want upgrades for my ships. And I open it, and there's like an upgrade for a soldier, which I don't play. Because there's 4 different classes of soldiers, which we'll talk about in a sec. But yeah, a soldier for a class I don't play. Upgrade for a soldier I don't play. Some credits, some parts, and something for an unlockable ship, which I didn't have unlocked. And I'm like, oh, cool. So open the next one. Pretty much the same thing. Open the next one. 1 upgrade for my craft, which I can't use because I wasn't high enough character level for that item or whatever. And I'm just like, this is stupid. If I'm putting all my credits that I've earned in this game into these boxes, I want direct upgrades for that mode so I can be stronger in that mode. Because I'm playing the mode and I'm like a level 1 ship and I can see the enemy and they're like level 20. I'm like, well, this is unfair already.
Yeah. Yep.
Something else they added in from last time is that the classes this time. So you've got like assault class, heavy class, specialist class, etc., which adds a lot to the different modes, which is really cool. I really enjoy that. I like being the heavy with his shield, etc. But again, I want upgrades for my heavy. I don't want the upgrades for the specialist, which is the sniper, which I don't use.
Yeah, yeah. And worse is when you get the same thing twice or 3 times.
Yeah.
Because you even get repeats.
Yep.
And you know, I mean, you do that in most games with loot boxes, but they allow you to trade it in for like a decent amount of something. Whereas in this, you get like barely anything if you trade in your repeats. Again, you get like 4 or 5 credits or like 4 or 5 parts to, and it's just nothing. And it happens way too often.
And now this all ties back into their original microtransactions model of the loot boxes, in that you could buy these loot boxes with real cash to get more cards, etc., etc. So really, you could walk in when they had it all active on day 1, drop an extra $100 down in this game, by, like, I'm not even sure how many boxes that would have given you. Maybe 10 to 20 boxes.
Yeah.
Just open them all up, got all these extra credits and started upgrading your stuff, giving yourself a nice pay-to-win advantage over everyone else that has to slowly earn the credits in the game to upgrade their stuff. So you've already got a strength advantage over your opposition on day one.
Yeah. Which is bad in itself, but the scary thing is that you might not even, you could, because there's so many options and it's not targeted to your favorite section, you could spend all that money and still be a pleb.
Yeah, you might have missed out on all your upgrades for your heavy soldier, and instead you get everything for the assault guys. Like, oh, cool. All right, I've got a bunch of parts and stuff, but the majority of stuff I got given from the boxes has gone into as a character now. It's like, wow. So even...
You might have the best sniper or the best spaceship, and you're like, I hate flying or something.
Yeah, it was just the whole loot box system was a disaster from word go. What it should have been from the start was cosmetics only, right? So you go, all right... Luke Skywalker has 5 different colored lightsabers that you can unlock through loot boxes.
Yeah, or all the outfits he wears from the very first movie till later on, and then if you have so much money, you can unlock old Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
You know, from the new movies or something like that. Like,
yeah, and he plays exactly the same, but, you know, everyone has the base Luke Skywalker, etc. Or, you know, Darth Vader, you could get like a pink Darth Vader or something like that.
Yeah, or you can be Anakin, but he's still got all the Darth Vader's powers.
Yeah, like Dark Anakin running around kind of thing.
Yeah, and be like, wouldn't that be cool? You see someone like, oh man, that guy's totally leveled up way more than me. He looks cool, or, oh, he has money and bought cool stuff. But anyway, let's get back to the game. Everyone's on an even playing field.
Yeah.
And that, you know, like...
Yeah. I think that EA, with this whole loot box situation, has done more harm to their brand than good. They've probably lost more money than they would have now made from it all if they had have just gone with that straight away.
Yeah, and they are the epic, like, description of that kid with his hand in the cookie jar. Whereas, like, if you just took one or two out, it would have been fine. But their greed just made them push too far, which is so sad because there's so many brilliant creators behind that. Like, when you finish that game and see the credits, there's just hundreds and hundreds of names. And all these people have just made something truly beautiful that they've given themselves to. And like a very few amount of people, if not one or two, have just come in and said like, oh, we need you to put this in because, you know, corporate this and that, and we need to make money and, you know, put this in your game.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just really disappointed in the way loot boxes have been going in a general sense out there. And now that we're now seeing it tied to multiplayer strength throughout your games as well, and it is becoming a pay-to-win model.
Yeah, and you know who nailed this? We just spoke about them. Rocket League. They have these awesome cars, and some are giant motor, you know, like a Big Mac trucks, or some are like tiny little race cars. Some are alien circles with like tendrils coming out of them, and some are like famous cars from Fast and the Furious, or like the... You know, the time machine from Back to the Future, or Batman, the Batmobile. But every single one of them are the exact same speed. They jump the same height. You know, like, the game is always fair, but it's fun. Because it's like, I'm driving in the Batmobile. Yep. I spent $3 for this because it's cool and I love it.
Yeah.
Like, well, I think that's how to do it.
Right way to do it, rather than... Like, I'm really disappointed in the way this has all turned out. I really am, because earlier in the year, this was quite an anticipated title for myself. And
yes,
I feel
same
like
here.
This whole loot box saga has marred this.
Yeah, and I was really excited, you know, like, talking about playing with Tuan and my brothers, and like, oh yeah, we're going to be playing this. But now, and I've said it to you earlier, like, I don't see where this exists in my collection where I have Destiny 2. Why, if I want another big space opera that's tight and fun to play and everyone's on the community, I'll play that. Or if I just want a big multiplayer experience, there's Sea of Thieves coming. Like, I don't see where this exists as my go-to game when I'm winding down in the evening.
Yeah, especially with the progression system as well. I look at it, I'm like, oh, cool, he's got the epic grenades and I've got the standard grenades. Oh, sweet, so he does a bunch more damage. Just little things like that. It just makes the game just... harder than it is.
Yeah, whereas like
what's happened to multiplayer games on, like, Overwatch did it so well, how everyone is on an even keel.
Yeah, but and it's all like the strategy is in who you choose and how you play and your teamwork with your friends. And it's still like there's still so much variables, like so many variables, I should say. You know, and it doesn't have to be because you can add and take out different things. Like, leave that to the RPG single player experiences.
Overwatch has been going strong for a couple of years. Like, I don't understand why companies keep doing this sort of progression system in online shooters where, you know, your character gets stronger and stronger, giving you advantage over the opposition. It should come down to which team is better coordinated, which team has the better skill, not who paid $100 for the better grenades.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, all that aside, man, what do you give this?
Well, okay, so I look at it as it's one of the best-looking games of this year. Like, it captures the look and feel of Star Wars, and they've absolutely nailed that.
Yeah, that's true.
My grievances with the progression system aside, the multiplayer as a, on its own is fun, especially the space battles, etc.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed with the loot boxes, which we've also just said. In saying all that, I'm going to give this a 7.3 out of 10.
Nice. Okay. Okay.
I still feel it's a fun game that captures the Star Wars experience. I just feel it could have been a great game if they just had of left some things out and just made some things a bit better.
Yep. Yep. That's true. I gave it a 6.9. So not quite a 7, nearly. But it's because, like that movement, I guess I'm spoiled by playing games like Destiny and Overwatch where, like, just traversal feels so fun. In this, the running even feels slow. Like, the actual playing of the game was just a bit weird for me. And then there's that whole progression thing. We won't get into it anymore, but obviously that took a huge chunk down. And I thought, well, you know, I can just score this well for its one player, but the campaign was a little short. But then, like I said, it wasn't the game I was promised. Like, I wanted a shooter with some flying bits, but I got mostly a clunky third person game. So even the bit I was thinking I could, like, it's cool, all this bad stuff aside, I'll just experience this beautiful new Star Wars story campaign that looks gorgeous. But even that was sort of all chopped and changed in ways that I wasn't ready for and didn't enjoy. So the bits that I did like the flying bits and the bits that were first-person shooters, were just so great. But they were so far and few between. So yeah, I had to give it a 6.9 out of 10.
All right, and that was Star Wars Battlefront 2. Now we are on to Backtrack, the segment when we take a look back at this week in gaming history.
What we're going to do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
November the 21st, so this week, in 1989, Atari releases the Atari Lynx handheld system, which is the first color handheld game system. However, the screen wasn't very good, the battery life was underwhelming, and it still fell to the Game Boy.
Wow.
Which was, like, the Game Boy still annihilated. And that, the Game Boy was the just ugliest looking screen ever. And this big bulky thing, but it was just, it was the, like the, I guess it was the first and clearest time where we saw, like, gameplay versus graphics. And when people talk about how, like, oh, Nintendo, you know, like, now they're killing it with the Switch, but before that they were all saying, oh, they're so behind, they're like a whole generation behind, you know, but I guess they're trying to do fun over graphics, but that's just new, because they used to be so cutting edge with their 64 and their Super NES, and I was like, well, no, they've been doing this gameplay comes first before presentation since 1989. Like, the Game Boy, you can't argue, was hideous next to the Lynx, like, just looking at the screen, and they annihilated it still. Yep. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, yeah. Atari Lynx, yeah, never took off. I never played one. I had a Game Boy and loved the Game Boy. I also played a Game Gear as well, which was Sega's handheld as well.
Which one was Battletoads on? Because I played that on someone's machine.
I'd say that would have been on the Game Boy.
I mean, like, big color screen.
Oh, I have no idea then.
Might have been the Lynx then. It was on something. Yeah. I remember playing it and thinking I was holding the future. And just quickly, speaking of that, in 2004, on the same day, November 21st, Nintendo launches the Nintendo DS. So, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Backtrack. Just a quick one this week.
Okay, all right. So now we're on to our listener questions, where you can write in to us and ask us anything you want in terms of gaming.
We have a question from our good friend Reef. And he says, if you were stranded on an island and you were only allowed one console, which would you take? And obviously there's power and TVs, all right? Chill out. It's magic.
Oh, I was going to have a bigger argument over you with you about this whole being on a desert island or something.
Okay.
But we're not going to go into that now because you just said it's all magic. So,
okay.
I would be summoning my boat and I'd be jumping on my boat and I'd be going home.
Whoa. I completely don't understand what just happened there.
Well, I just left the island.
You were stranded. It's clear here.
But I've used my magic powers to summon a boat.
The magic is very specific to power and electricity.
Okay, all right. I'd probably just go switch then.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That would have been that was going to be mine if you had said, all right, so you got no power. What I was going, all right, I'll take my switch in with its 3-hour battery life.
At least have 3 hours of fun before you're stranded hunting for coconuts.
That's right. So I'll go to switch on that one.
Wow. Well, see, you can't argue with that logic. But, I mean, if it were magic, I guess I'd bring back the... I guess it'd have to be the Xbox 360. I mean, I've got more all-time favorite consoles, but the Xbox 360 provided me with the most time spent. So the main thing I'd be looking at doing on a desert island stranded is killing time. So, you know, I'd be playing Skyrim and things like that
I see what you did there, but it's, okay, how did you get all your games to the island then?
Oh, they're downloaded onto the console, of course.
But you got no internet?
No, they're on there already. I downloaded them before I got stranded.
Oh, but you can't do your updates because no internet.
No, but that's fine. It doesn't know it needs updates because no internet.
What do you do when your battery runs out on your controller?
There's power on the island, I already told you that. There's magic power, okay? That's what I do. And they're wired controllers.
Yeah, but you've only got a CRT monitor out there. You don't have a nice, crisp, widescreen TV.
Well, the first time I got a Xbox 360, I used on a CRT TV.
Is this me just changing the rules on you constantly now?
No, it's fine. I got it. Because, like I said, I played 360 on a CRT. And it actually looked better than my high-def TV at the time.
Okay.
Because CRTs looked awesome. They were just heavy and dumb.
Cool.
So that's that. All right.
Thank you, Reef, for your question once again.
Thank you. Please be more specific for childish people like Callan, who like to pick at your magic.
Yep. All right. So that brings us now towards the end of the episode. And as always, we like to finish off with our layman hype trains, with something that we aren't too happy with, but something that we are super excited and hyped about. So let's get straight into it with the lame train.
I walked into a gaming retailer this week, and I was just in there checking out some stuff. Oh, yeah, asking about my Xbox One X. And as I walked in, there was a little kid. He would have been 4, 8 or 9, maybe 10. I can never tell anymore. But he was there holding hands with his mum. And she's like, so this one, are you sure? And he's like, yes, please. And it was Call of Duty World War II with a huge R18 plus sticker on the bottom corner. And the kid's like, yeah, that one, please. And the mum's like, okay, any others that you want? And like, just blind to it. I'm like, this is the whole problem. And this kid was tiny. Like, you know, he should have been playing Skylanders or something. But he's like, yeah, COD, which obviously means all his friends are playing and everyone at school's talking about it. So it's not just him. And he, you know, I mean, I don't like making assumptions, but I don't assume he goes home and plays against all like 25-year-olds. It must be within his group. So this is happening a lot. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, just go in with your mom and, you know, she can show the ID. And then this just blew me away. I was like, wow, that's just awful to see. I mean, you know, each parent to their own, whatever, and you can do whatever you want. It's just so, that's my lame train. But then I walked up to the counter and in front of me was a different parent and a different kid. I didn't see which game it was, but I heard the staff member say, so this one, and you're okay with the R18? And the parent said, yeah, no problem.
Wow.
And I was like, it happened twice in the same time. And I was like, and I don't like judging about parenthood and whatever, but when people are complaining about like, oh, games are violent and, oh, it's disgusting what's on these games, it's like, well, no, it's not, because they're for adults. And it's just like movies and books, like the things that happen in those are awful beyond imagining. And in games, it's like, it's nowhere near that bad. But even if it is, you know, you buy it as an adult and you know what kind of art you're acquiring.
Yep.
But when that happens, like, ah, you know, well, that's my lame train. I could go into it forever, but we always have, so.
Okay, so.
But yeah, I was a bit annoyed.
Mine's a little strange this week. Mine is, okay, well, I guess we'll talk about it now, is that we're not doing any more episodes till our Game of the Year episode now.
Oh, yes.
So I'm going to miss these little weekly chats now. So our Game of the Year episode's going to be mid to late December.
Yeah, around the 20th-ish.
Yeah, around there. So, my lame train that we won't be doing this weekly until then.
Oh, you'll miss me.
Well, no, I'll miss just talking about games. I could just replace you.
Whoa, oh my... he can replace me, listeners.
Yeah, well, you have two brothers, so I can just bring one of them in.
I have Melvick three would... brothers.
Sorry?
Excuse me? I have three brothers. I can
bring your three... I can have a different Smith in here each week.
Well, there's... Yeah, we'll get into that. They're not all Smiths, but yeah.
Well, okay, all right. We're not going to go into your family tree.
Oh, wow. Thanks. That's fine.
Hey, Melvick, there's a job opening.
Yeah. Quit your other jobs because this is the one that's going to feed you and your future. This is definitely the job for you. I hope you live in a box.
All right, so now on to our hype train.
Hype train.
Xenoblade Chronicles 2 comes out next Friday, so I'm really hyped for that because it's a massive RPG on the Switch. Bang.
Awesome. Mine is, I never played the... DLC for The Rise of the Tomb Raider or Dishonored 2, and both those games have had 4K textures added to them, and also so I'm really excited to jump in and play those now on the Xbox One X and see all the other games that I already own that have like enhanced for Xbox One X improvements, and also like Shadow of War and stuff. So that's my hype train. I can't wait to go through that library.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much for listening once again. We'll be back.
Thank you.
Near the end of December with our Game of the Year episode. Now, if you have any suggestions on categories for Game of the Year, like, for example, best action game or best sports game, etc., send them into
us. We've got a bunch
already.
But keep
them a bit random, a bit strange. We'd like a bit of sort of weirdness going on in there.
Yeah.
Rather than just don't send in best action game because it's probably already going to be in there.
Yeah, exactly. Send us something weird like, I don't know, strangest hairstyle or coolest shoes. I don't know. You guys do your thing.
Exactly. All right. Well, that brings us down into the closing fact.
Ooh, yeah, of course.
All right. So this, again, ties back into our feature game. I've enjoyed starting to tie back into the feature games now.
Oh, good, good. Nice.
Ready for this one? This one's great. Since 1992... there has been a Star Wars video game released every year.
Wow. Has there?
Yep. So this includes like Battlefronts or Lego Star Wars or...
Or the Kinect game?
Yeah, yes, that counts. But there has been a Star Wars video game released every year since 1992.
Wow. And which one was the 1992 one?
I didn't look.
Oh, come on, man.
I know. But I know what this year's one was, which was Battlefront 2.
Oh, you are just a bundle of information.
Yep. And last year's was Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens. And the year before that was Battlefield 1. Oh, Battlefield. Battlefront 1. Yep.
You can't even get the easy information.
Yeah, that's cool. So that's the last 3 years, man. That's the last 3 years going back with Star Wars games.
Oh, nice. No, thank you.
Yep.
The fact was very cool, though. I like that. Well, thanks, guys. Right. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. And this has been Game Train.